Our God is able. No matter what the circumstances look like, no matter what people are saying about you, and they're talking about you. Trust me, they're talking about you. But our God is able. Why are you holding on? That's all I know to do. I'll just keep holding on. Praise God. Well, I got a few quick announcements here. First off, we had a great collection. 1,967 boxes were taken to Mansfield. So that is a minimum of 1,967 children and people that Morrow County residents are going to touch with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, yes. Also, men's breakfast be at Edison Depot this Saturday at 9 a.m. Next week, if you hadn't looked at these yet, next week, 12:05, fellowship carry-in dinner following service. Thank you for bringing a covered dish or two to share. The church will be providing tableware, coffee, and water. Hope to see you there and your family. And then, secret sister reveal is that afternoon from 2 to 4:30. If you need any more information, you can get a hold of Cheryl. She's right there. And mark your calendars. For those of you who haven't been here during this time, a couple years ago, we decided to do an ugly Christmas sweater Sunday. Well, we're just going to call it apparel. Now, we ask you not to wear your pajamas, okay? It's amazing. I read where two Marines were sitting in front of the commanding general's spot at Camp Lejeune not too long ago in their pajamas. They didn't even get up to acknowledge him, which is, anybody in the military knows, bad protocol. You get on your butt and you lock it up. You know there's only one person parking with those four stars. Even the police don't park in that spot. But anyhow, it's like, you know what, the generation's come. We just wear pajamas out. Put some pants on. It's cold out, for starters. But anyhow, just because I've got a doozy for you. I would say I worked hard at it, but somebody else did for me. And when you see it, you'll understand the whole irony of the whole thing. But praise God. So we're so blessed to be entering into the season of the birth of our Savior, the Christmas season. This week we celebrated Thanksgiving. But giving thanks is a lifestyle. It's not a day. We need to be grateful every day, which actually, as it coincides, is what today's message is about. Go figure, right?
What day is this letter?
The 12th. The 12th. Yes, sorry. I did stop short. But anyhow, and I do, you can park pretty much anywhere in the parking lot you want. Out there might be a little bit soft. The machine I was running back and forth weighed 12,000 pounds, so it packed it pretty decent. But I did build that up so that we could extend the parking lot about 8 more feet so people can actually park both directions. And then hopefully we get some rain this weekend. It'll wash all that mud off of the stone that's out there. Because otherwise Michelle's going to hate us all. Her dad's already been rubbing it in on her. Oh, but praise God. Let's bless the tithe and offering this morning, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you. Lord, we are truly grateful for all you've done for us. Father, we thank you that in the midst of death and turmoil, Lord God, you have protected us. Not that the disease hasn't come nigh our house, but you protected us through it. So, Father, I thank you for that. Lord, I thank you and praise you for all that you've done. Father, I thank you for what you're going to do. Lord, I know everything will work to your glory, to our benefit. Lord, I thank you and praise you right now as we present to you today our tithe and our offerings. Lord, I present them to you as holy, as sacred. Bless them now, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated, and those super kids are dismissed.
Pastor Art, can I just
share
something?
Oh, I forgot something.
Before? No, you didn't.
Oh.
You didn't. Well, I mean, we are going to do that, too.
Okay.
But, can I just add to the announcements just one tiny little thing? Just want to make sure that the ladies know that after the fellowship meal, that Christmas party celebration is for all the ladies, whether or not you did Secret Sister program this year or not, okay? You'll really be blessed. I hope you can stay for it. It's going to be a fun afternoon, so I just wanted to share that.
Okay, so I did forget something. So we recently held a membership class, and we had some people that came up and said, we would like to be a part of your body. And so we are going to recognize some of them, because some of them are not here today. They're out of town. We bless them on their trip and hope they enjoy it. And also be praying for Ted Sherman. Most of you, if you don't know, he's a single guy usually running around back in the back. He is in the hospital right now. He has an infection, and they've been looking for it, and he just told me this morning that's what they gave him was an infection. So he needs some healing and some cleaning up in that area. But so first I would like Sherry L. Wagner and Tom Edward E. Wagner to come up. I know two Thomas Edwards on opposite ends of the spectrum. But they're another couple that came in. They've been here for a little while now. And you know, most of you know, we said, just come in, enjoy, be a part of the body, see if this is where you want to be. And they said, this is where we want to be. So, Miss Sherry, thank you. Mr. Tom, God bless you, man.
Thank you.
And now what this entitles you to, this certificate, absolutely nothing. Oh, yeah. I know it seems like a lot now. Mr. Shenandoah Rogers has also become a member. He doesn't want to come up. He's a quiet guy. I appreciate that. But he's also become a member. His wife and his mother-in-law are members. And now that Miss Cindy is retired, she can be here regularly. So, yeah, so he's going to be working with her with the kids in there as well. So I'm going to hand you that. But so next week we'll do some more. So, all right, thank you guys. Yes, amen. So I hope everybody got enough turkey and mashed potatoes and sweet potatoes and green beans. If you didn't, well, you can eat some more today, because I'm sure you've got some left over. Oh, praise God. But you know, it's a good thing for us to as a nation to stop and do this. It's a great thing. It was sad that it had to be mandated, that we had to have it as a federal holiday. Why weren't we just doing it already? Why didn't we? We should be grateful all the time. This is the next character of Jesus Christ. He was grateful. He's the Son of God, but yet he gave thanks for many things. We think that it's too much to say thank you to somebody holding the door. And then, but there's still a lot of people that will, but then there are those people that expect you to hold the door. Just so y'all know, I don't have to do anything for you. Nobody has to do anything for you. In my book, you got hands, you got legs, you can open the door. If I hold the door open, that means I'm preferring you over me. It doesn't mean anything else. I'm not flirting with you. Don't want to be your best friend. Just want to open the door. But gratitude, you know, we try to create all kinds of great, you know, an attitude of gratitude. Well, that's great. We do need to walk around remembering to be grateful. Because when we can remember to be grateful, we're not grumbling and complaining about what we don't have. And I could say, well, you know, you're grumbling, complaining about where we're at. We are still one of the wealthiest nations in the world per capita. Even our impoverished are still better off than many. I will not apologize for this country being the way we are as far as the prosperity. I won't do it. You work hard. That's what comes of it. You honor God. This country was founded originally on godly principles. Whether everybody exercised them or not is another issue. But it was originally founded on Judeo-Christian values. And one of these things is to stop and give gratitude to our Heavenly Father. See, you know, I've talked about being thankful many, many, many times over the last 20 years. You probably paid attention to the Father. I thank you for this day. I may have thanked God for the day earlier, but I thank him for that day because I'm not guaranteed this day. I'm not guaranteed tomorrow. So I thank him for this day when I get up in the morning because I'm going to be able to go out. This is the day that the Lord has made, no matter what may happen. You know, Monday we pulled up out here. They didn't have the taller trucks anymore at U-Haul, but they did. They have this real 26-footer. That's the box. And I backed it up here and got out, and it was mud. It was bad. And we tracked mud in and out. And the ramp was short. They made the ramp shorter, so now they're steeper. So we had to have one person pushing the cart with the people, with somebody else pulling. And then you may have a little bit of mud on your boots. And so, you know, but it's like, Lord, I thanked you for this day. This is the day you have made. I will rejoice in it and be glad because no matter what is in this day, I will overcome as long as I'm grateful. But the second I start whining, oh, man, look at this mud. Oh, come on, somebody do something about the mud. Well, I did. And it got so bad, actually, that when I backed the truck out, trying to do the two-point get out with it, that ditch that was cut across the center of it, I backed both wheels into it, and it sunk, and I couldn't go any further back. So it was kind of gooey, but the truck pulled right out, and down the road we went, and Pat was riding with me, and he's like, what's all that noise? What's that tick, 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 tick? And I said, Pat, that's mud. I was slinging mud from here all the way down Park Avenue. But we rejoice in it. We rejoice because when we start taking that away, when we start rejoicing and being grateful for the things we've got, thank God for the new sunrise. I'm not exactly a keen proponent of watching the sunrise. That means you got to be up early. I like to watch the sun go down. I like the stars coming out. I like to watch the moon rise. Sunrise, dalky. I've been up enough for that. Nonetheless, I'm no less grateful for the day because I didn't watch the sunrise. No more than my wife is no less grateful that she maybe didn't make it to sunset in the summer, which is not an uncommon thing. As a matter of fact, lately I've been needing to take a nap right around 7 o'clock, so, which is normally 8 o'clock in my clock. My clock has not adjusted. I don't know about y'all, but this has been the roughest year ever. I'm like, what is wrong? I just cannot shift a gear. But I want to look at some things that Jesus did about being thankful. Because when we start modeling our character after Jesus Christ, we can model it after somebody else. That's absolutely fine. You see something, you know, if you get to know Richard and you say, man, I like that about him. I want to be like that in him. Well, that's fine. But even the Apostle Paul said, only follow me as I follow Christ. Paul was changing his personality. And that's why we got to remember, Paul, we're watching, even through the Gospels and the books of the New Testament, we're watching the Apostle Paul actually grow into a Christian. Paul was a great Jew, okay? But a Christian he had to grow into. He had to change just like you and I. He had his moments, you know, we don't know really what the thorn in the flesh was. A lot of people can speculate. Paul kept it so vague, so it wasn't any y'all business. He's like, it's none of you. None of your business. Don't worry about it. But God told me he wasn't taking it from me because his grace was more than enough for me. So this was an area Paul had to learn to walk in God's grace, knowing that he was imperfect. And I'm sure that it is in his pharisaical mind that it just drove him nuts that he couldn't purge this thing and he had to rely on God. But when he learned to just totally rely on God for everything, then he was able to really find his freedom, just like we need to find it. So John chapter 11, go to verse 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. There's two things we can actually learn here from him. First off, he was grateful. He said, Father, I thank you that you hear me. Do you realize what a privilege that is? That the Heavenly Father hears you specifically. Well, what if somebody else is praying? Do you think God is so simple that he cannot hear all? God is so complex in that area, folks. He's got us all. We can all pray at once. You know, many of you have probably seen the movie Bruce Almighty. And when Jim Carrey's character feels like he can be God, and he starts getting all the prayer requests. And then he's like, what is this? What is going on? And then God shows up later and says, oh, by the way, that's just within a 5-block radius or something of you. That's just in this area. That's not the world. We need to understand that is the way it is. But God cares enough for you that he hears you. And he was pointing this out to these people so that they could see that God had indeed sent him. But he said, I thank you. He was grateful for what he was doing. When we forget what our ministry is actually about, when we quit thanking God for what it is we're called to do, you have a calling. You teachers, when you quit thanking God that you can teach these young minds, that you can have an influence in their lives, you've forgot what your calling is. You nurses, anything else you may do, construction, clerical, it does not matter. When you quit thanking God for what you have, you become an ingrate. And you'll complain about your job. You will whine and moan about your job. And we could go back, and if you really want to go back to Exodus, we can see what happens when we whine and moan and complain all the time. We're no longer thankful. Do you ever get somewhere, maybe you even had a friend or a family member who was like this? They got everything they wanted, but the one time they didn't get it, they threw an absolute tantrum. And everybody else standing around was like, I know what that boy needs. That boy needs a good butt beating. He's got everything, but yet he's not thankful for the one thing he couldn't have. And if you ever watch the Count of Monte Cristo, the rich man was jealous of the poor man. Even though he had the pony and the other one didn't, he had something he wanted. And he was no longer thankful for all that he had. He was just unthankful for the one thing he didn't. Well, God promised me this. Listen, God's promises all come with stipulations. Everybody seems to forget that. You have to be obedient. All things work together to the good of those who are called and love him. And what did Jesus say in John chapter 14? If you love me, you'll obey my commandments. You'll obey what I'm telling you. So you know, I'm trying to see if I got all my teachers pretty much right in here. It looks like I do. So the days that you think, I'm quitting, I've had enough, I am done with these little snot-nosed brats, I'm going to just, see, that's why I didn't become a teacher. I've seen too many movies with Marines as teachers, and they're never good movies. They're good action movies. But when you forget that, you forget the lives that you've helped. You forget the people that you come in contact with. Just because of one person. And that's the same thing even in ministry. If I let one person rub me too far the wrong way, I will forget the hundreds, perhaps thousands, that their lives have been changed. They've been bettered because of that, but not because I let one person ruin it. I have had people come. We've had people come in here. They actually, most people that come in here that want to start, they aren't after me. They're after you. They want to split you. Anytime we've had troublemakers, their object is to split and divide this church. Now, I've told you before that if I see those people and I recognize them and they're working, I will call them out. So there might be a Sunday, who knows? There may be a reckoning. So if there's ever anybody going behind my back telling, and I've asked you, if anybody comes and tells you things, come talk to me. We will find out who it is. And we will settle this the way the Bible says to settle this. Somebody's washing their hands. Yeah, that's a good thing. Wash those hands. Praise God. Do not let a little bit of ungratefulness pass through you. Now, I'm going to move to the next scripture. Matthew chapter 15. Verse 36, and he took the 7 loaves and the fish and gave thanks. What did he do? He gave thanks. He thanked God for them. What's another word that we like to use? The blessing. Say the blessing. Why? Well, that's the blessing. You got to say the blessing. What is the blessing? It's giving thanks. That is it. Now, you can pray, you can bless the day, you can pray for your family, a lot of little things. But understand this, first off, you know, if it's you, you can pray all day long if you want. But if you got a lot of people sitting around with food sitting right underneath their face, you had better make that prayer quick. Because little kids don't comprehend this, they don't understand this, and they will just start eating, and then the parents are there, stop, 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 stop. And then the other thing we teach, oh, you're going to choke on that fruit because you didn't pray over it. No, all I have to do is say, Father, thank you. I just blessed the food. It's that simple. But we've turned it in. I've heard people, they're casting out impurities or casting out demons out of the food. It's too late to cast out impurities. Come on, I got so many preservatives in me, they don't need to embalm me later. I like processed foods, and that's a problem. Especially pudding. So Jesus is blessing this food, broke them, and gave them to his disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitude. Okay, there's one scripture. Next scripture, Matthew 14, verse 19. Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed. See, in Matthew, they use this word blessed, but it means the same thing, to give thanks. He blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the... This is the feeding of the 4,000. The other one was the feeding of the 5,000. There was 2 times he did this. My mechanical mind wants to... How did it work? Did you put it in a basket and they just walked around and kept pulling? I mean, think about that. He just broke the bread and they just reached in and started pulling out pieces and handing out pieces. And these were just the men they had counted. This wasn't the women and children yet. So let's assume every man had a wife. There's 10,000. And at least one kid, there's 15,000. We're talking about a mighty, mighty miracle that took place. And you know why this miracle took place? It's not because Jesus sat up there and worked up some conjuring, or he fasted and he prayed for 30 days. It's because he was grateful. He gave God thanks for it. And you know what God did? God performed a miracle. God moved mightily. Jesus made sure that God got the glory for this. He thanked the Father for this. The other thing I was going to point out in Lazarus, what did he do? He thanked the Father that he heard him. And then he turned around and he said, "Lazarus, come forth." And God did a miracle. Are you seeing the connection yet? If you need a miracle, start giving thanks. Do not worry about running. You don't have to run down the source of why Lazarus died. Why nobody thought to bring food. But one little boy. And it's probably because he had an overprotective mother who said, "You are not going out this house. Go change your loincloth right now. Not have you run around dirty loincloth. And here's your lunch. And you make sure you eat every bit of that, boy." I can imagine when he came back with the scraps. "Mom, I ate it all. And we fed 15,000 people." Who knows? But when he blessed us, God began to move mightily on the behalf. One, because Jesus was grateful. The Son of God was grateful. "I ain't got nothing to be grateful for. Well, be grateful I didn't just slap you. That's a good one, right? I'm kind of like Major Payne, if you've ever seen that movie. Here, let me help you with that. Let me help take your mind off that bullet wound. You're not feeling the bullet, are you? Because when we're ungrateful, we won't see anything. We won't see, "Hey, you know what? I've got a house to go to." "Well, I ain't got a house." "Well, where do you stay?" "I live under the bridge." Be grateful for that bridge. Start thanking God for where you're at so that he can take you where you need to be. "Well, I ain't got enough money." Is there ever enough? I'm going to tell you the answer to that is no. If it was, we would not have a race to see who the wealthiest person in the world is. Huh. I mean, some of these guys, they've only become this in the last 10 years. You know, people are running around, during the game yesterday, there were a couple commercials for crypto. Anybody else catch those? The one was Matt Damon and I forget who the other one was. It's like Dogecoin and Bitcoin, where you buy in for imaginary money. You know, Donald Trump said he will not invest in that. And you know why he said? Because it's not real. There's nothing really there. You spent real money, but you have nothing. Eventually, somebody's going to pull out, and it's all going to go. Talk about a pyramid scheme. "Oh, but pastor, I don't go pastor and me." You lose your money in that, you lost it on your own greedy self. There has to be something good and solid. So will there ever be enough money? There'll never be enough money. Ever. You'll always find some place to spend it. I can. I don't know about y'all. Yeah, I got a few things I can spend it on right now. One of them would be to pave that parking lot. Probably about $50,000 at least. That's not that hateful. It's not a big concern of mine either. Will we thank God for what we have so that He can give us what we need? Or will we just keep whining and complaining about it until we don't even have that? Remember the servants who were given the talents. You had one who was given many. He went, doubled it. And he was made a ruler of many. Another one who was given a little bit less, he went and doubled his, and he was made a ruler over much again. But then there was one who was only given a little bit because he didn't have the experience the other two had. But because of this, he was operating in fear. He went and buried it and stuck it in a can in the ground. Instead of finding a place even to put it in with a banker. I never caught that, did you? Why didn't you at least put it in the bank so that it could earn interest? Wow, that was way back then. They could have used that money, and then I'd have got mine plus a little interest. And I'd have showed that you're not a total fool. But he said, you're a fool. He operated in fear instead of gratefulness. They're two opposite ends of the spectrum. Fear will keep you away, and it will make you complain. I don't want to move. I don't want to move. I don't want to go. I don't want to do this. Well, don't do it. You have the choice. That is the great. Did you know we are free will beings? We have a free will. We get to pick and choose. Nobody can tell you who is God. Nobody can tell you how to serve God. You get to do that. I highly recommend you be thankful. Comes highly recommended. From our Lord and Savior. If we will do that, we'll start seeing God move into miracles that we need. Matthew 26:26-27. And as they were eating, Jesus took the bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you." Now, they were already eating. So they'd already obviously said the blessing for the meal, right? You usually say that before. Or if you're like me, sometimes you're about halfway through a swallow and you're like, "Oh, I didn't. Do I swallow and choke?" No, I swallow and said, "Lord, I thank you for this food." He blessed this bread and this drink separately. It means he gave thanks for it. Now, if you're not familiar with this particular passage of Scripture, this is at the Last Supper. This was the bread and the wine that was sitting before him, and he picked it up. They were all chowing down. They didn't need any more bread. Nobody needed any more wine. They had enough. And he picks this up. He breaks it. After he gave thanks, he said, "Father, I thank you. This is my body that's about to be broken. Take and eat." And he picked up his, "Lord, I thank you for this wine that represents my blood, that it will set them free, that it will lead them to you, that it will make a way where there is no way." And then he said, "Take and drink, all of it, all of you." Now, there's only one person who was not here, and that was Judas. Judas had already left. At the very beginning, Jesus had said, "I'm going to identify my betrayer, because one of you is going to do it." He dipped the bread into wine, handed it to Judas, and looked at him and said, "Go do what you got to do. Do it quickly." And he was the only one who was gone. Remember, the bread and the wine represented his body and his blood. Jesus gave his betrayer permission over the whole thing. When he handed him that dipped bread. Now he's giving it to his followers and saying, "It's broken. It will be broken and my blood will be spilled for ratification that you know nothing of." That's the great thing. We have no idea what really took place. I do feel kind of like I'm in Narnia, When Aslan said if he had actually known, if the witch had actually known what was in there, she would not have done it. And that's exactly what took place. I don't know what took place back then. I wasn't around. And guess what? There's certain things that God's going to keep in his repertoire, and then we will know all things at that point. I don't think there's one person on the planet that's got it all. And the second they claim they do, run. This particular case, the other ones we saw miracles happen. We saw people get fed, right? We saw a dead man raised from the grave. He'd been dead 3 days in a desert-like situation. I'm sure he smelled just fine and fantastic. But yet when he hobbled out of there, and they said, free him, get him out of there, he's alive. This time, God performed another miracle. In it, Jesus Christ would lay down his life. He would be betrayed by the man he gave permission to take. Even Judas did not take his life. He was given permission to do it. He would later be falsely accused. He'd be beaten, mistreated. He did all this for us, to show us that he would take it. Many of us have been mistreated, falsely accused, abused. And even when he was in the courtyard and Peter had just cussed this woman out for the third time that night, pay attention to what the Bible actually said about that. He cussed her out. I do not know this man. I am not with them. But they're like, you smell like them. You look like them. They wore clothes, okay? Just like kind of people from different regions. You can kind of tell where somebody's from, just based on their clothes. You're wearing Galilean garb. And that last time, and I believe he did catch the eyes of Jesus. And his heart sank. His heart was ripped apart. And he went running away. And then as they led him to the whipping post, they beat him with a cat of nine tails. Just near unto death. Just to the point of him dying. Then they drug him down the street. Threw a beam across his back. And he walked his way to Calvary. God was doing a miracle. God was doing something. He was doing something for us. He wasn't doing it for himself. The whole time Jesus was doing this, I'm not doing this for me. Because you have to believe and you have to know when the word says he could have called 10,000 upon 10,000 angels to attack the earth and destroy it. And they would have done it. Do you know what that would be like? They were on call. They were on standby. You know, my short time in the military, we went on standby quite a bit during the Gulf War. And we'd be standing out there. Some of us just got to bed. It's 2 o'clock in the morning, and we're standing out there. We've got our rifles. We've got our packs. We got all the stuff we're supposed to go to war with. And we're standing there waiting for orders to go get on a truck so they can take us to the airport. These angels are charged and ready. Now, I'll be honest with you. After the third or fourth time, we all figured it out. Our CO's wife had gone home, and he was bored. And he really, really did. She went home and he had nothing else, nobody at home to talk to, so why not mess with my Marines? But these angels were charged up and they're ready to go. And he never said the words. And as he continued to walk, a man was pulled out of the crowd to help him carry. And then when they got there, again, they continued to abuse him. This is a man who did nothing wrong. And in all of this, he knew what he was getting into, folks. He wouldn't have sweated the great drops of blood had his nerves and his anxiety been on top edge. He wouldn't have broke that body and poured out that wine if he didn't know what it was to be. When he did that, God did a miracle. He made a way that the ultimate sin, ultimate price for sin was paid once and for all, and that you and me have access to the Father. Folks, that was the whole reason he came, was to make a way so that you and me could go to his Father. We'll talk about it next week, but the other thing that Jesus, the other characteristic that Jesus had, he never did it to draw attention to himself. Everything he did was for the Father. He drew attention. He pointed the way to his Father. Something that's kind of lost in this world sometimes. We do everything for us. We need to make sure that we're drawing attention to God, our Father, in everything we do. If we do it, it's for God. And you don't have to go getting religious, and every time you hand somebody, well, it's for God, you can say you're welcome. Because in my opinion, the other way is just about as rude. Somebody thanks you. Don't thank me. Well, I am thanking. You're the one that God used. And if you're being used by God, you can say thank you on God's behalf. And you're welcome on God's behalf. Just a little. If you can't tell, I really don't like religion. It takes us away from knowing who God is. It took us away from knowing that God is a good, loving Father, that he's an angry God. He's not angry at us. Do we get that? His vengeance isn't saved up for us. It's for the devil and all those fallen angels and all those demons who will receive the ultimate vengeance. And what he did was made a way that we don't have to spend any time with them. Now, people reject him, their blood is on their hands. So when we're thinking about complaining about one thing or another, and it's easy to gripe, it's easy to complain. I'll give you an example. I got one tire that, like every other day, it loses air. I'm like, what the heck? And then the other one will do it. And they're aluminum rims. Anybody that's got aluminum rims, you know, they have a tendency to leak. I remember when I first started, it started happening, I'm like, okay. I bite my lips, and now if I get up in the morning and the light's on in the truck, I just back the truck up over to the barn. God had moved on me to put an air hose outside with a chuck and everything. And all I got to do is turn it on and drag it over, call it back up and hang it up. It's always outside. I don't ever have to open the doors. I don't have to go inside. Well, it sounds like you ought to get it fixed. Well, really the only way to fix it is to replace the tires. Which I'll just wear these guys out and get new tires. And then put slime in all four of them. They're going to be so slimy. But I quit griping. I stopped. I started because I was like, God, I thank you I've got a truck. I thank you I've got a truck that told me I've only got 20 pounds. Thank you. And as I continue to thank God for the things, it doesn't stop the natural wear and tear of life. But maybe it does slow down the effects. And it definitely helps me out. It's my heart, my attitude. The truck never gets an attitude. Y'all notice that? You can get mad at your vehicle all you want. Get out and kick it and cuss it and everything else. The vehicle didn't think twice. The only person that's been out of shape is you. And now your toe hurts. Change the griping to gratitude. You know what? I thank you, Father. It's still got tread on it. It may have a leak around there. I've got a big bottle of slime, but I don't want to put it into that tire because they're not far from being needing to be replaced. And slime isn't exactly free or cheap. So I'll just wait and put it into new ones. I thank God for it. I thank God I have an air compressor that's plumbed in. I thank God that I can do that. When we thank God for the things we have, God can move in our lives. He can bring miracles to our lives. And that's what we have to hold on to. The second we start complaining about everything, we just slap God in the face. He's like, I had a miracle for you. Do you know what I was about to do with your two loaves and your three loaves and your two fishes? Do you know what I was about to do with the little bit that you had? I was going to bless you and everybody around you, but you chose to gripe about it first and tell me how much you don't have. Seriously, folks, if we really want an eye-opener, go outside the country. Get outside this country. You know, we came across that picture from when you went on that trip down to South America. While the building looks all fancy and stuff, that's that building. When you look out at the abject poverty of people. And I've been told by Marines and some other people that even live in Hawaii that what we see, Hawaii is beautiful. I mean, that's all I've ever seen, right? I mean, Hawaii 5-0 or Magnum PI in particular. I'm like, oh man, this is beautiful. Those are select scenes. They talk about how poor the people outside the gated communities and the beach houses and stuff like that are, the people who live there. And actually, they've come to the point they're saying, please, stateside, stay stateside. Do not bring your money here. We can't afford to live here anymore. And this is where we were born. We're not helping people. So think about it for a minute. I ain't got this. I ain't got that. What do you need? I need shelter, food, and water. Do you got those three? Start thanking God for them. If you're just living in a cardboard box, start thanking him for it. Maybe he can see what he can do about getting you into a single wide. There's nothing wrong with a single wide. I've lived in quite a few of them in my life. One of them in a hurricane-stricken area. It's a little concerning, I ain't going to lie. When you're banking on screw-in anchors into sand held by thin metal straps, and you've got a great big pecan tree beside your house, you get a little concerned. We thank God for it. Friends of ours said, you guys want to come over here to our place? We're like, why? You live in a trailer too. What, so we can all die in the same trailer? Ironic thing was, they later did have a tree fall on theirs. I'll never forget that. But start thanking God, because then you know from there, maybe you get your nice little ranch house. And maybe you get that farmhouse you were after, or whatever it is. Don't make the thing why you're giving God the thanks. Be thankful for what you have. I sent Jesse a message the other day. You know, and I'm like, it's going to be a little bit rough on him. His first real holiday away and not being able to come home, which he does get to come home for Christmas. And so I sent him a message. You know, I said, hey, I know what it's like. I said, I'll tell you what I learned. If you keep, this is comes from an old song. I said, love the ones you're with. Even the bozos, I put. Because he will get to come home. He will have his family with him at some point. And guess what? And I told him, I said, these 5 years are going to fly by. My 4 years went by in a snap. I look back, I'm like, what was I worried about? I mean, it's been 30 since I went in. Been over 30. Start thanking God for the people you're with. Well, I wish I had this. I wish I had. Listen, I know we got a handful of single folks, and they want somebody in their lives. You start thanking God right now that he is protecting that person for you, that he has the right person for you. You don't want the wrong person. You don't want just anybody, do you? Getting around here, trying to gray bounce all my single people. You don't want just anybody. You want the one he wants for you. There's going to be lots and lots of imitations. But there's only one real thing. So hold on. And be grateful and live your life. And don't keep that as your front burner, okay? Live your life. When you quit living your life, and I can't do anything without that. No, you can do lots of stuff without another person. I'm going to ask you, how long were you single? Yeah, so for a long time, weren't you? Yeah. And then all of a sudden, this little church moves into this junkyard. And they start cleaning it up. And you're like, hey, I hear that. She starts coming to church. Well, there was this guy who'd been coming. And a couple years later, what do you know? Here they are holding hands. That's what I'm telling you, folks. Just live your life. Be grateful and thank God for the things you have. He'll fill in the blanks. He always does. All right, that's it. It's noon. Y'all can stand. Hallelujah. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are grateful. Father, we're grateful for all the things you've brought into our lives. Father, we're thankful for our family, for our friends. Father, we are thankful for this building, for this property, this country. Lord, in spite of the imperfections in all of it, it's stuff you gave us. So we thank you for it, Father. Lord, I pray that you help us all to now to develop the habit, first off, of every time we go to complain about something, we thank you. We remember, yes, I could have less. I have had less. I have done with less. Father, I pray that you move in all of our lives. And Lord, we pray for our friend Ted. Father, curse the infection in his body in Jesus' name. I speak life right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Command healing into his body, total restoration of everything that this infection has been working on in the name of Jesus. And now, Father, I thank you for these people. I bless them, Lord. They should be to be envied. They're happy. Lord, bless them. Move in their lives even this week. Father, I pray that you move mightily for them. Father, and especially as they begin trusting you and thanking you, Father, open the doors for them that no man can close. In Jesus' name, amen.